This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
For a little Bruce Chanel, remember him? Hey baby, I used to love that song. I think it was Bruce was a one-hit wonder, but it was a good song. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, January the 19th already. One more day, that's it for Trump. He's gone after today, right? We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Dr. Samuel Gregg of the Acton Institute. We're going to talk about cancel culture and the denying people of work opportunities based on their political beliefs. So stay tuned for that, because I think it'll be very interesting. And one day before Joe Biden takes over the White House, the Senate reconvening today to consider his cabinet picks, with all of these other things like impeachment going on. Meantime, Hillary Clinton suggesting that Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin were on the phone together while the Capitol was being breached. They were kind of in on it. Could you believe that? We're going to get some perspective on both of these things from the proprietor of the Bar Report himself, Andrew Ceraci, a little bit later in the show. Also, will transgender rights be back in the focus, in the news again? You know, the bathroom controversy and the like, with Joe Biden as president. We're going to talk about that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 longest living women in recorded history. How old do you think they were? We'll find out if you stay tuned a little bit later in the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. It is, for my money, the best hair cutter in Tampa Bay. All right, we got a lot of things going on. The Senate is back in town today. They're going to start trying to confirm the picks of Joe Biden for his cabinet, even as there are not yet clear agreements, on how the body's going to handle the Trump impeachment. Are they going to go to trial on that or what? Nobody seems to know. It's not going to help things if they start out with an impeachment while Joe Biden is just walking into the White House, I would think. Meanwhile, incoming Democratic Senators Ralph Warnock and John Ossoff of Georgia and Alex Padilla of California will not be sworn in until tomorrow, and neither will Kamala Harris. It leaves the upper chamber in a bit of a state of limbo right now as they walk in. And as we mentioned, the impeachment, Nancy Pelosi, that dear woman that runs the House, has not yet sent over the articles of impeachment. I wonder how long. Remember, she took a while to send them over the first time, didn't she? And now, you know, it's like, I don't know, what do you call it? It's like a dog chasing a rattlesnake, or not a rattlesnake, but, you know, something that once he gets it, what's he going to do with it? So here was Nancy Pelosi chasing impeachment. Now she's got the impeachment papers. What's she going to do with them? Is he going to send them over? Is Biden excited about having the impeachment trial go on, if it does, while he's president? I think it would make his first few weeks look kind of, I don't know. It's not a unifying thing.
Did you hear about the woman that stole her laptop when they breached the... I'd love to see what's on there. She's probably got a Donald...
She tried to sell it to Putin in Russia.
She's probably...
I wouldn't pay 10 cents
She's probably got a Donald Trump screensaver on it.
I think so.
Yeah, because she's sweet on him.
Well, we know that.
You know.
I think that's...
Probably got superimposed pictures of him and her together.
Let's be careful about this, Ed. But I think there's no doubt about it. She's a spurned lover. Let's be honest. Come on. Let's be honest. Every time she takes out her teeth in the evening, I think she thinks about Dom, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a sexy thing.
Yeah.
So now you got me off. I mean, I was really rolling, and then you have to come in and say something like that. Of course, you don't want to see me do well. I know that. We've all known that for a long time. We've got a few more minutes here before we take our break. Did you hear about Hillary and her latest, I guess, would you call this a rumor or a hallucination? Hillary Clinton, remember, she was the, she tried to be president, but she was former Secretary of State, spoke with Nancy, beloved and dear Nancy Pelosi, on her podcast about the riot at the Capitol and hinted that Putin, the Russian president, may have been receiving updates about the chaos from President Trump. I'm sure President Trump wanted to get on the phone while the windows were being broken and the door being breached and talk to Vladimir. I mean, that's the first guy I would want to talk with. Now, Clinton has a podcast. How in God's name did they ever give her a podcast? It's called You and Me Both, God forbid. You and Me Both. What does that mean? Does she ever say that to Bill? You and Me Both, Bill? What do you think? No, that's
you know, when it comes to Hillary, I treat her like an ex-wife. I just tune her out. She's just void.
You know, our
she's
show,
void to me.
Our show, despite my best intentions, turned more and more into comedy as we go along over the years. But anyway, so Clinton tells Pelosi she would be interested in obtaining Trump's phone records to see if he was on the phone with Putin while the Capitol was being breached.
God, let it go. Jeez. Those two.
Oh. Let's see. Here's a quote. I would love to see his phone records to see if he was talking to Putin the day the insurgents invaded the Capitol. I don't know why it's funny.
He'll show you his phone records, Clinton. If you'll show him your emails about Benghazi, how's that? That's an even change.
I like it.
Even exchange.
I like it. Get your 30,000 emails out of that bin you've got hiding in your complex. Oh, my goodness. Oh, and we'll throw in Pelosi's computer, right? We'll get it all together in one place. That would work. All right. Let us take our break. And when we come back, Samuel Gregg of the Acton Institute, and we're going to talk about cancel culture in business. Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello, over at Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Come on, baby, don't you wanna go?
We are back on a Tuesday and delighted to have Dr. Samuel Gregg join us. He is a research director at the Acton Institute. And last week, penned a piece in Fox Business about the cancel culture phenomenon having no place whatsoever in business. Sam, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be with you.
It's a real pleasure to have you. And you mentioned in your article for Fox Business that a recent Forbes op-ed, and coming from Forbes, it really kind of surprised me, argues that businesses should not employ people like press secretaries who worked in the Trump administration. What the hell are they talking about? Why are they trying to deprive people of getting a job just because they supported or were around Donald Trump? It's kind of a very scary scenario. Tell us a little bit about this mindset, if you would.
Well, the cancel culture mindset is everywhere. It's been in universities, of course, for a very long time. It's been present in significant segments of the media, as I'm sure you know. But now it's starting to creep into the world of business. And by cancel culture, what we're really talking about is blacklisting people based upon their political views. So if you're a – and it really doesn't matter what the views are, right? The idea is that you blacklist people, you rule out even considering people for employment in any number of positions based upon who they've worked for. Now, I happen to think that businesses should be able to employ who they want, and they don't really have to offer any particular reason to others why they accept certain people for employment and don't accept other people for employment. But the notion that we're going to have pressure being brought upon business not to employ people because they have conservative or free market views will strike a lot of people as very strange. And it was very strange, as you said, that it was published. The piece was published by Forbes magazine. And I should mention that the owner of Forbes, Steve Forbes, went on television the next day and basically said, well, we're not going to be blacklisting anyone. So that was heartening to see. But the fact that the chief content editor of Forbes was going around saying that anyone who employs people who worked in the Trump administration, quote-unquote, Forbes will assume that everything your company or firm talks about is a lie. Well, that's a pretty extraordinary type of claim. And, you know, let's think about it this way. Let's say that this was applied to anyone who worked in the Obama administration or the coming Biden administration or a Clinton administration in the past. So when you start to look at this, you start to realize that banning people on the basis of who they've worked for in the past, politically speaking, there's really no way of stopping that once you let that particular genie out of the bottle. And that's what the article is about, and I try to explain why. It's not just silly. It also doesn't make very much business sense, because what it will do, it will lead to a type of culture within a company that leads you to not understand half of the population. So if you're going to go around banning people because they voted for Donald Trump or something like that, well, okay, then you've basically just excluded 71 million Americans when it comes to thinking about what your best business strategy is, how you're going to sell particular goods and services to particular markets. So not only is it really questionable on grounds of, say, free speech, it also just doesn't make very much business sense, because what company in their right mind is going to say, we are going to essentially refuse to deal with anyone who might have any insight into how half the country voted?
We're talking with Dr. Samuel Gregg. He is a research director at the Acton Institute about a piece he penned in Fox Business last week about the cancel culture and business. Sam, what about it, this is going hand in hand with shutting down conservative speech, is it not, on these different platforms? Where are we going with this? I know that, you know, in general, the media is liberal. But this is more than that now. This is kind of a scary place. It's kind of a dark and scary place we're going, don't you think?
Well, it's interesting because if liberal means being open-minded and tolerant and all these sorts of things, then, of course, a lot of the media is not particularly liberal in that sort of more classical sense at all. So what we're seeing in some respects is simply a continuation of how a lot of the media and certainly the universities have operated for quite some time. And it's a trend that, as you know, has become even more pronounced over the past 4 years. But it was inevitable, I think, that this would start to seep its way into the world of business, partly because a lot of the corporate sector is pretty much aligned with the political left right now. And so the same mentality that the left is bringing to many of these questions, which is, we're not interested in a conversation, we're basically interested in shutting down conversation. It was inevitable that this was going to start to work its way into the world of business. And one of the things my article tries to point out is that this is potentially very costly for business, because if you're basically saying to half your consumer base, we think that people like you are unworthy of being employed by us, or that we don't even care whether you buy our products and services or not, there's going to be a significant economic price for that as well. But I guess the bigger danger is what you're pointing to, is that it reflects corruption of the way we think about free speech. It leads to the situation where we end up blacklisting people. And then we've been in this position before. This was done in the 1950s, remember, when there was a thing called McCarthyism. Right. So what we're seeing in some respects here is a type of liberal or left liberal or left-leaning McCarthyism that is starting to manifest itself outside the media and outside the universities and making its way into a part of American life where, of course, lots of Americans spend lots of their time.
Yes, indeed. And you make a good point about the McCarthyism. It scared people into wanting to associate with anybody that had even a tinge of a connection or a sympathy towards communism. Now and then with the boycotting, as you were talking, I was thinking about Chick-fil-A, and remember,
right.
Chick-fil-A was perceived as the ownership was perceived as to be somewhat conservative religious, I guess you might say. And all of a sudden, there were calls to boycott going and purchasing their product, you know, shutting them down financially. But here's my question, Sam. Do you think there might be a backlash by business on this? In other words, it'll go the other way and say, you know what? I know that you're liberal. I know you're a Joe Biden supporter. I'm not so sure I want to hire you.
Well, that's the risk, right? Because what goes around comes around. And if we're going to get into a situation whereby companies are going through and saying, okay, we're going to look very carefully at people's political allegiances when it comes to who we employ and who we don't employ, and that becomes essentially the deal breaker, then guess what? You're going to start employing people based upon political allegiance and things like competence, merit, probity, talent, work experience, these are going to be shoved into the background. Well, if that's the case, everyone loses, right? Because suddenly businesses are engaging in suboptimal hiring practices.
Indeed.
That, I think, is the sort of the bigger economic danger, right? Because you start hiring people based upon, okay, you're a liberal or you're conservative, and that's all that matters. The fact that you can't do the job or you're not qualified to do the job is irrelevant.
You know, in the media itself, I mean, let's be honest, when we turn on CNN or Fox or we turn on MSNBC, we kind of know the political persuasion of most of the people that are hosting those programs. They get hired based on their political persuasions to some extent. And I think it's the same, it has been the same over the years with newspapers to some extent. I think it's more so than ever now. although newspapers are slowly or maybe quickly disappearing, which is a story in and of itself. But so you've got all of these people coming out of the Trump administration that might be looking for work. I think you mentioned like their press secretary and other people like that. And they're entitled to go to these television stations or networks. And they probably will be recruited, I would suspect. Some of them are going to show up on Fox, you know, because of Trump, et cetera.
Right.
And are they gonna, they're not going to be able to stop that, are they?
Well, they, I think in some respects, no, because these people who have worked for the Trump administration, you know, they have insights, they have experience, they have a connection to part of the center-right world, which it would be very foolish to ignore. I mean, let's say you're a liberal, you'd be pretty foolish to ignore what that segment of political opinion is thinking and talking about, right? So it doesn't make much sense. But I think the part of the problem is that with cancel culture, all those questions get pushed aside. What matters is ideological reliability. And if you want to know what that looks like, go to your local college or university.
Exactly.
And you'll see how monolithic these places are. And what's worse about this is that it ends up discrediting a lot of these institutions. And a lot of people start saying things like, why would I bother sending my child to X university and paying whatever amount, thousands of dollars for an education, if all they're going to hear is leftist indoctrination? Is that really what I'm going to pay for? So I think in the end, yes, many of these people will be hired because they have experience, they have knowledge, and they have insights that have been very important, at least for the past 4 years. But if businesses go down this path, and they're going to be pressured to go down this path by activists, by lobbyists, by organizations like Black Lives Matter, all these people, I think that it might provide some, you might be appeasing some of these groups, but in the long term, I think you're going to make some very serious errors when it comes to hiring decisions. And hiring decisions are extremely important when it comes to the success or failure of businesses.
Yes, indeed. Again, we're talking with Dr. Samuel Gregg of the Acton Institute. You know, if you go to Hollywood and try to get a job, or if you go to a university and try and get a job, you know they're going to probe to find out your politics to some extent, and or especially in universities. And it's been that way for a long time. I guess we get used to it. You got to be a liberal, really. I always salute any conservative professor, lecturer, and certainly any actor that comes out and it tends to be conservative. Because I tell you, sometimes I think they're taking their life in their hands. But we got to the point now. What is it? Not too long ago, there was that they allowed a Republican commentary in the New York Times.
Yes.
And I forget all of the detail, but it almost got the guy that allowed it, the editor or whatever, fired.
Well, it did. We're talking about Senator Cotton, I think, and
yes.
He wrote a piece, and there was a revolt among the staff.
Yes.
Of
what's going on?
The editor ended up resigning because he was pressured to resign from within his company. Another example of this is the novelists, people like the author of Harry Potter, right?
Yes.
Because of her views on all sorts of subjects.
Yes.
They
tried to cancel her.
The other one is Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson, right? Who, I think it was Penguin, or I can't remember which company it was, but they're publishing his next book. And there was an uprising among the staff saying, well, we shouldn't be publishing this book, this man, because he's homophobic, he's racist, blah, 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 all the usual accusations that were trotted out. Now, the company, the leaders in the end said, no, we are going to publish him because he's a very important voice and you may or may not like it, you may not agree with him, but it doesn't matter what's important as we get this material out. But we'll see, I think, this starting to happen more and more, whereby employees start saying to bosses, well, I don't think you should do that because X product or X service or hiring this person or contracting with that company, it, quote unquote, offends me.
Yeah.
And the problem is, of course, a lot of those bosses will be thoroughly intimidated by that. Indeed. And we'll give in.
Indeed. And again, you never think that our country would do something that almost sounds like a Nazi Germany kind of thing, banning speech, banning a viewpoint. And yet we're trying to do that. We're trying to do that. What is going on? Is this how things got started in Germany or maybe in Russia as well? You know, when they took over those countries, the first thing they wanted to do was to go after all of the writers, you know, from one side or the other. It was kind of scary.
Well, I think what's very clear about the contemporary left is that they have taken the idea of tolerance, which, of course, is the context in which we have to have if we're going to have discussion and disagreement peacefully about all sorts of questions. But they're using the concept of tolerance and using it as a way of crushing people who are not coming from their standpoint. Now, you know, the National Socialists and the Bolshevik regime, they weren't crushing things in the name of tolerance. They were crushing things in the name of their particular ideological
right.
position. What's different about we find today in many Western countries is that it's the idea of tolerance which is being used to shut down discussion. And that's an exact precise inversion of the role that tolerance is supposed to play.
What's tolerance not tolerance?
To play, right? Tolerance is all about providing a context, right, in which we can all express our ideas freely and without fear that someone's going to kill us or punish us for expressing our ideas. The left are using the idea of tolerance to basically say, even saying such and such a thing offends people, it's therefore intolerant, and therefore we have
right.
to drive it out of the public square. That's the really insidious character of the way in which this thinking is going. It's using concepts like tolerance to shut down discussion and free debate.
And, of course, it's intolerance right there and then.
Exactly.
Dr. Samuel Gregg, it's a real pleasure to have talked with you. Thank you so very much. Boy, this is an important thing, and I hope we can talk down the road again.
Thank you. Great to be with you today.
All right, sir. Dr. Samuel Gregg of the Acton Institute. We're going to take our break when we come back. Joe Biden becomes president tomorrow. I know that the master barber cannot wait for that. We're going to talk with him about that and the Senate reconvening to consider his cabinet.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works. By the way, we are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. If you can't listen to us live, Big Ed sets all of our shows up on podcast. All you got to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, Donald Trump, on the way out, expected to issue between 50 and 100 commutations and pardons before he leaves. It says here that the pardons will likely come in one large batch today, but there's a slight chance that they'll wait to make them official tomorrow morning. And there's a bunch of people that are on that list. Rapper Lil Wayne, I'm very delighted to find out that Lil Wayne is expected to be pardoned. I think he had some good things to say about Donald Trump. His real name is Dwayne Carter. Also, Steve Bannon, former advisor to Trump and an architect of his campaign in 2016, who pled not guilty after being indicted and accused of defrauding donors. I think the chances are good that he will be pardoned. Anyway, we bring in the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceraci. So I guess Donald is getting ready to leave, and Joe is going to be getting ready, maybe preparing his speech for his inauguration tomorrow. Andrew, what do you think?
Who's preparing his speech?
Yeah, that's true.
That's the first question.
Well, he'll be.
Secondly, he's going to have a hell of a crowd there anyway. I guess there's like 25, 30,000 National Guard.
That's about it.
That's it. That's his crowd.
That'll be his crowd.
Tell me how disgusting it is that these morons put duplicate battalions of soldiers to protect them. Where were they in the summer?
Right. Well, they were not being welcomed in certain places. And Democrats, who was it, Nancy Pelosi herself, talking about the fact that we shouldn't be sending in National Guard troops and these different things. They can be handled locally. Remember that?
Yep. Paul, let me tell you, everything that's going on is totally disgusting. Look at, he wants to shut down the pipeline already.
Right.
Wait till these people see their gas at $4 a gallon in July. Oh, he didn't say that. And we never knew this was going to happen. These people are stupid. They knew this was going to happen. They voted him in anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point about the pipeline. First of all, the pipeline gets it to us safer. Now, what are you going to do? If you're not going to transport oil through pipelines, you're going to put them back in trucks and in railroad stations?
I think OPEC needed to build another city out of gold like Dubai with our money. You know?
There you go.
So, I mean, this is great. I understand if we have spare bedrooms in our home that we're going to have to start opening up to the, I don't know how many thousands of migrants coming up already, huh?
Yeah.
From Honduras.
Here's what Biden's going to do. Among some of the things he's going to do to reverse executive orders by Donald Trump, he will sign a reversal of the travel ban. He's probably going to sign, they say, according to his chief of staff, about a dozen executive orders. He plans on bringing the United States back to the Paris Agreement on his first day, you know, the one where nobody really follows anything. They just meet and then they talk about what they're going to do and then nothing happens.
Well, they said it on the news this morning. Biden wants to make America like California again.
Exactly. God forbid. Why would anybody want to make anything like California right now? They're all scurrying like rats off a ship, afford to.
We're in for one hell of a ride. It's like I told you, we're seeing the demise of the Republican Party. You're seeing Nazi enthusiasm in Washington, D.C. today, okay? I mean, not for nothing, I got to ask myself, where's ISIS when we need him?
Yes.
I mean, I would love to see something happen tomorrow at the inauguration. I hate to talk like that,
well,
but where are they when we need them?
Yeah, no, we don't want to see any trouble with the inauguration, unless you know.
No, I don't know, but you don't want to. I do, but let it come from another country.
Yeah, what do you want? I mean, while he's standing up there, you don't want him to someone to take a shot at him or anything.
No, I just wanted those big planes flying in like they did September 11th.
Oh, my goodness. You don't want that either. Come on.
No, I don't know, Paul. You know, something's got to change in this country. We need
something
drastic
to happen. Well, we want to do it peacefully. Yeah, but
the only thing, nothing's going to happen peacefully. Being peaceful, look what's happening. Our country's being run over by Democrats that don't know what's going on. We're going to take this country like California. We got migrants coming all over the place. Gas is going to be $4 a gallon. And they're going to try to do everything they can with our weapons. The party's over, Paul. All you got to do is look at Washington, D.C. today, and the moron's afraid to go out because he doesn't think he's got enough security.
Well, here's the
And then they're vetting. They said they want to vet. You know the little bald senator there that was eating the chicken?
Yes, I do remember that guy.
Okay, he says he wants all the white soldiers vetted because somebody could be causing something in there to take a pot shot there. Is this guy nuts?
Yeah, he is nuts.
He's
been strange for a long time.
And he's a senator in our country. You know what? We need to vet. We need to vet our politicians before they run for office.
Well, we should certainly do a better job, and we wouldn't get people like him in. But here's the good news. Remember what happened 2 years after Obama came in? What happened? In 2 years,
nobody admitted they voted for him.
2 years later, we turned the. The Republicans came into power in Congress because of the things that the first 2 years of the Obama administration, people started to realize. I think the same thing will happen with Biden.
But you know what, Paul? No, because the country wasn't as divided as it is today.
True.
The Republicans are useless. The Republicans will not do nothing. Look at the turncoat Republicans in there. I think I need to run for office as a Democrat. This way I can infiltrate them like they do to the Republicans.
Yeah, we got a few of those.
Okay,
what's going on
is ridiculous. The Republican Party is dead. They keep showing themselves what they are. That's over with, and I'm telling you, you're going to see a strong second party. I don't say three parties because the Republicans are going to be gone.
You know, people have talked about whether or not the Republican Party actually, even when Donald Trump came in, let's be honest, when Donald Trump came in, he has a populist philosophy, and he brought a lot of blue-collar Democrats, from the Rust Belt states with him, right? And he was able to win states like, at that time, Pennsylvania and Michigan. And
he won those the last time, too, Paul, but for what went on, and we know what went on. So,
yeah,
like I say, voting doesn't work no more, Paul.
So
it doesn't work.
So, but what I'm trying to say is that Trump kind of brought all of these kind of populist Democrats over, and it didn't, it used to be that Republicans were kind of hardcore conservative. They didn't become hardcore conservative. They became big spending conservative types, much more than they had been before, because Trump's been a huge big spender, right? So when he leaves, do you think that the Republicans will coalesce again around the hard right, less government spending philosophy?
I think they're going to be circling around the toilet bowl waiting to get flushed.
Oh, boy.
Okay? Because it's not going to happen. I'm telling
All
you,
right.
People are fed up.
So what will be the philosophy of this new party that you're thinking about that will replace
Republicans? Well, we're going to have to make America great again.
We're
going to have to do it twice. It'll be called probably the Patriots Party or MAGA, one of the two.
Okay, so it will be.
I'm saying it's 80 million strong already.
It'll be in the image of Donald Trump, which means
definitely. There's no question about it.
Which means we even take things like big spending in certain areas that he likes to spend big in.
If we're making money in this country like we used to in the 50s and 60s, then we can spend. But we've got to get the country to the point where we're making money again and not printing it.
And yet that's what Donald Trump was doing. He was spending printed money.
He was printing money, but he was also bringing industry back into the country,
yes,
which was producing money.
Yes,
okay?
I agree
They're
with
not
that.
Going to be producing money here now. Industry's leaving. The oil industry is going to be dead, okay? We're going to go into a state of depression. And I'm telling you, in 6 months from now, nobody's going to admit they voted for this moron.
We're talking with the proprietor of the barber, Paul, and you can see he's got his dander up a little bit, but being a barber, dander is maybe one thing you should talk about.
That dander is on cats.
Yes. Oh, that's true. Do you ever cut cat hair? No, wouldn't do that.
I can't say I have.
All right, good. So let me ask you this, Andrew. Let's just, let's say, God forbid, that Donald Trump does not come back. Is there anybody that you can think of currently, and I mean it seriously, to think about it, that you would vote for president? Is like Ron Paul? Is there any real hard conservative you might vote for? Or somebody, would you vote for Ron DeSantis? Who would you vote for right now if you could, or select if you could?
Joe Biden.
Come on now, really. Who would you
Well, right now, I really can't say. I can't. You know, I'm very close with the DeSantis family.
I know you are, and I don't want to put
you... And I think the kid's got presidential qualities,
yes.
But the fact of the matter is, if he does, he can't run as a Republican.
He'd have to run in the new party.
That's right.
Yeah. Speaking of Ron DeSantis, they've been comparing California and Florida recently to how they've been handling the epidemic. And California has been mostly a closed state. In comparison, Florida has been mostly an open state. DeSantis is more into allowing it to be open. And it turns out that California, by closing up all of these businesses, has not done one bit better with controlling the virus.
Well, look at what the mayor Fett put over there in Chicago is saying, and de Blasio in Como.
Gloria.
Okay? All of a sudden, January 20th is coming, and it's just like I said, COVID's going to disappear. They want to open up. The Como saying, we got to open up. We can't do this no more. So is Mayor Bigfoot there, whatever her name is.
Yeah, Lori Light and the Loafers.
Okay.
Yep.
They did this politically, made these people starve, brought down the economy because they wanted to break it so Trump didn't win. Everything that's happened was politically motivated. You will see. They don't have to worry about these vaccines. Anyway, what are they going to do? They're going to give all these thousands of illegal immigrants coming over masks when they cross the border or what?
That's
the disease they're bringing, Paul?
Yes, indeed. And that's another thing. I was looking at, I don't know if you saw the tape. I'm surprised that there was a huge confrontation. I don't know where it was, but there were must have been 20,000 people, and they were trampling each other, and the police were trying to stop them in one of those Central American. And when they get to the border, like you say, how many of them are sick with the virus, and they're going to allow them to come pouring in?
But
I don't think so.
That should be just more proof that the virus was all fake then, wasn't it? If they let them come through without a worry of anything, that's telling you everything was a bunch of baloney.
Well, already some of the people in the Biden administration are saying they're not going to allow these people to come through that way. So we'll see what they do with it.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But I doubt it very high. Man, what are they going to do? They're going to swarm them. They got all our troops at the White House right now.
What a world we are in right now, Andrew.
It's a big mess, Paul, and I've got news for you. It's going to get a lot worse. This country, the minute Biden raises his right hand tomorrow and holds Camilla's hand, this country's in a tailspin.
Yeah. Well, let's hang on. It's going to be a bumpy ride, my friend. Thank you so much, and we'll talk with you again on Friday, will we not?
You got it, my friend. I shall be there.
All right. There he goes.
All right. Be good.
I will. Andrew, the master barber. Taking off, and we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about transgender rights. Will they be back in the news again with Biden as president?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment of Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. I just noticed in the news here, Ed, that Wyoming Republicans have censured Liz Cheney over her Trump impeachment vote. So she got censured there in Wyoming. That's kind of interesting. I guess there really are a lot of Republicans that are very, very upset with this attempt on the way out the door to impeach Donald Trump. I think it's going to. I don't see how it works in the Democrats' behalf.
So many different things are wrong with it. A, it's going to cost millions again. And he's out, and you're only doing it for your own satisfaction because you don't want him to run again. It's got nothing to do with really what happened at the Capitol.
Yeah.
You just want to do that. And this whole time, for the last year, you've been talking about uniting the country. But you couldn't put a bigger wedge in there.
Exactly.
By trying to do this again, this bogus thing. I mean, if he did something criminal, it'd be a different story. But this is for your own personal
gain. Well, they're trying to find something criminal. You know that.
But he didn't come out and say, let's storm the Capitol.
Of course. Yeah, it's doing nothing but driving a wedge.
I just hope these next 4 years, they can take what they gave this last 4 years to us. They better be able to take it.
Yeah, indeed.
Because he's going to, from day one, he's going to trip over his own tongue.
You know, I don't see how they can ban Trump from wanting to run again anyway. I don't see how they can do that. If people want that guy on the ballot, they have a right to put him on the ballot. Mm-hmm. I don't see how they can say, oh, no, you can't put Donald Trump on the ballot. Why not? This is a free country. Give him, President-elect Joe Biden has promised to include swift action on federal guidance that Trump revoked, designed to protect transgender students. Early in the tenure of the Trump administration, they revoked a federal rule that extended Title IX protection to transgender students. That allowed them, by the way, Title IX, to use bathrooms and locker rooms according to their gender identities, which would throw everything up for grabs, in my opinion. So is he going to allow this kind of thing to come back? Without the Title IX protections, it was left to the states to make their own rules, which I think is the right thing to do. Mm. Anyway, not the federal government coming in and doing it. This is the thing. Anyway, Biden has talked about bringing back these Title IX protections, and I don't think people want to go there. I think that's another thing. You talk about he's trying to bring people together. I don't think doing that is going to in any way bring people together. Now, I want to ask Ed just before we go to our top 10, because I'm very curious and worried. Well, not really worried, but curious. Do you think that the Kansas City quarterback Mahomes is going to come back and be able to play this weekend or not?
I don't know, because this is going to be in the hands of the doctors, not the NFL. That's the deal. Because he was so...
He was rattled.
He was out of it.
He was.
Yeah, you could tell he couldn't get up.
He would have.
That tells me that was maybe one of those high grade concussions. I mean, you got to remember the Bucs had an offensive lineman who didn't even know he had a concussion. He was out for 3 weeks because he didn't clear protocol. So,
and they're going to have supposedly an objective whatever.
Well, that's what I mean, the doctor.
Do you think that he'd be objective? There'll be much pressure.
Yeah, it has
on
to.
Him.
It's an outside doctor.
And you think he'll be truthful?
It has to be, or he loses his job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they should do the right thing that way then. Okay, fair enough. All right, Ed. Hey, I've got one that I think would be very interesting, is very interesting, and I wonder how they do. But these are the top 10 longest living women that we know of. I mean, that they could vouch for as much as possible. And this comes from Wikipedia. So here we go. Without further ado, they've lived the longest. Number 10. A woman by the name of Maria Capovilla in Ecuador, who was born in 1889, she lived to be 116.
Wow, that's the lowest? Wow.
And that's the lowest of the 10. She lived to be 116. Actually, she lived almost 347 days. Basically, she lived to be 117.
Wow.
Number 9. This is from Japan. Misao Okawa. She was born in 1898. She lived to be 117 and 27 days. Mm. Must be that rice.
Yeah.
Number 8. Another Japanese woman, Chio Miyako. 1901, she lived to be 117 years and 81 days. Wow. Okay, number seven. Italy. Italy. Emma Murano. She was born in 1899, 117 and a half, basically. 117 years and 137 days. Wow. Number six. Jamaica. Jamaica. Violet Brown. She was born in 1900, 117 years and 189 days. What do you do in Jamaica for all of that time? There can't be that much to do.
A lot of rum, man.
Yeah. I bet she knew a lot about rum. Maybe she drank a lot of it and kept her going.
You know, the ones that live the longest say, I have a drink every day.
They do drink. That's true.
Makes you forget.
You're right.
Maybe it forgets you. They makes you drink. Forget how old you are.
Yeah,
you
know? I think they do drink. Okay, number five. Canada, Marie-Louise Meilleur, born in 1880, 117 years and 230 days. Holy Toledo, number four. Japan again, Nabi Tajima, born in 1900, 117 years and 260 days, almost 118. Number three. This one is still alive in Japan. Okay, guy was born... No, not a guy. It's a woman. Kane Tanaka. She was born in 1903. She's still alive. She's 118 and 16 days. 118! And she's still going. Amazing. Number two. Aha! The United States. Oh. Can you believe that the second longest living person lived here? Sarah Knaus, or Knaus, K-N-A-U-S-S.
Right, Knaus, yeah.
Knaus, yes, right, Knaus. Born in 1880, and she died in 1999, 119 years and 97 days.
Can you imagine
old.
When you're 50 and you're sitting there thinking, well,
holy cow.
You know, in a good term, I've probably got about another 30 years left, when you actually got 70 years left.
Can you believe that? I wonder, she would have outlived probably all of her kids, right? She'd probably outlive all of her kids.
Unless she passed the
gene
on.
She's 119. She would have outlived all of her kids.
Yeah, unless she passed the gene on. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Ed, this woman is in dispute now, but she still is number one. Do you have any idea who?
No.
Let me ask you this. Do you have any idea where the country, where?
Is it in our country?
Do you think she came from the United States?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to say a... Asian or something.
Hey, okay, that's a good guess. Why don't you roll the drum? She came from France. Her name was Jeanne Calment. She was born in 1875. She died in 1997. 122 and 164 days. So there
now,
you go.
I'm sure she had a box
now,
of wine a day.
Our owner, Lola, says that she's going to live to be 121 years of age. Now, I think that's amazing. I don't know what she takes. She takes a lot of pills, I'm sure. And she exercises.
Well, we don't actually know her age right now.
No, we don't.
No,
we don't. But
saw her in half counter rings.
But I'm looking forward to see how long she can go. All right. Thanks so much, everybody. We will be back on Friday. Always remember, freedom works.